You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
giving up a second thought about you now. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
be?
Tell me
why your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. That's right, it is the weekend. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. And as always, if it's not, you're going to get it done anyway. If it has to be done. If it has to be done. If it don't have to be done, you can just, you know, stay at home and continue to be safe. But if you do go out, make sure that you wear your mask. Make sure you keep them distances. Make sure that you keep your hands washed and anything else that you need to do to be safe. Because it's serious out there. And you know it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. Then the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. And then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. And on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with host Brother Jihad Ahmed, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to... I know it now. I wanted to be on the program yesterday. Melanin Live with Brother Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan. And Bonisiwa told me, but somehow I'm thinking 8 to 10, it's 7 to 9. But I did get a little bit in, so I appreciate that, and I thank them for it. Friday, if it's Friday, and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. That's right, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard this evening at 8 p.m. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And on Sunday, at 7 p.m. on Sunday, Time for an Awakening with, once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Please check their website out. All kinds of good products that are produced by us, you know. And I would say please do that. Yeah. Africa for the Africans. That's my guest today, Brother Bomani Tahimba. So I won't go too deeply into what his page says, but we'll get off into that when he comes on. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brothers and sisters, go online to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything you need for a trip of a lifetime is right down that website. All right. Renoko Rashidi, my good brother, Renoko Rashidi, Dr. Renoko. And he has a trip upcoming. First, he's going to Kemet. That is going to be August 1st through the 14th, going to Kemet, Egypt. And then he's going to Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th. October 5th through the 16th, Uganda and Rwanda. And so give Brother Renoko a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Habesha Incorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. Habesha Incorporated.org. The Kashi Project, what they do here in the States. Within, of course, their mission is, as a Pan-African organization that wants to cultivate leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. And, of course, the Kashi Project that they're doing, sustainable seeds and golden growers and Habesha Works and all kinds of good stuff, man. They're doing the work, dear brothers and sisters. HabeshaIncorporated.org. And the Kashi Project that is in Ghana, it is happening. The buildings are up. They're doing it. And if you go online to HabeshaIncorporated.org and you can see the plans, you can see how beautiful it is. Check it out. The Ledge Group, land for the environmental development of group economics. The Ledge Group, and of course, they're all over the continent. And of course, their thing is food, water, shelter, and clothing. The basic necessities for human existence. Food, water, shelter, and clothing to make it all real and sustainable. They have 12 projects going on the continent. And they're active in 6 countries. They're employing about 172 people with over 260 members. They need more members. They need you. They need me. They need us. Just like Habesha and all the other things, we must get involved. We must participate to making these things a reality. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from Shrine of Black Madonna. Oh, the Shrine of Black Madonna is open today and tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, through the 20th of next month, and from 1 to 7. The Shrine, of course, is located on Ralph David Abernathy. Okay? You can pick up your Kwanzaa kits. You can pick up all kinds of other things that you may need, books, artwork, and so forth. Furniture. I mean, you know the Shrine. Okay? So the Shrine is open on Fridays and Saturdays. On Fridays and Saturdays. And, of course, Wadada's open almost every day. I don't know when they close. I drive better sometime. They still be open. But to contact the Wadada's at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. And of course, the number to the Shrine is 404-549-8676. That's 404-549-8676. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. Check her out. Go see her. Go see Mama Nia. Give her a call. 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. Mama Nia at the Medu Bookstore. And of course, Medu means writing. There's a word that goes after Medu, and that is Netcher. Netcher means gods, the writing of the gods, the Medu Netcher, what the Greeks called the hieroglyphs. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother Kazimde Ajamu. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. If he doesn't have the book that you're desiring, I'm quite sure he'll get it for you. And please visit right there in Main Street in Lithonia,
He's got his coffee bar up, man. The place looks great. It's got a great atmosphere, good people. Brothers and sisters, check out the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast last night. Us Lifting Us, every Thursday night from 9 to 10. Us Lifting Us on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's every Thursday night from 9 to 10. If you want to call to listen or call to make comments or questions or concerns, call 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Sanjay Dash, Haiti. Sister Gabby is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And believe me, she deserves to be supported what she's doing with those young folks. As you know, they're probably getting very little, if nothing at all, from the government because the government is still in a very tough situation coming back from the earthquake 10 years ago. 10 years ago. So check out Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E. Dash Haiti, AYITI.org. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Akhbar Institute. Please, brothers and sisters, make your check or money order out to Akhbar Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akhbar Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App, and of course, the programs that Mama Baruti and Baba Baruti have been having. They always put the Cash App's information in there for those Zoom programs. And one is a Yahoo account. This is one just on Cash App. On Cash App, put in the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can make your donations through Cash App. Makes it easy on yourself, right? Okay. All right. The Inye Sesem. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem. Yeah, I got to go see. I have to make an appointment to go see her because, you know, I'm not sure, you know, because I know I'm going to talk about the Kwanzaa celebration that is going to happen. Right after I do the Inye. But let me do it right now. Let me just do it right now. Then I'll go to the Inye Sesem. Okay, we have a, and I'm going to mention, of course, again, because I'm going to play some Kwanzaa music at the break. But the virtual pre-Kwanzaa celebration is sponsored by ASCAC Atlanta, WADU of Georgia, and the Pittsburgh Collaborative. That's the community that we usually have the pre-Kwanzaa celebration in at the center. Of course, ASCAC stands for the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, and WADU stands for the Worldwide African Diasporan Union. And of course, we're promoting our business, preparing for the preparing for Ujamaa. I apologize. We're preparing for Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. There will be drumming entertainment, fellows, family fellowship, and of course, affirmations, business owner presentations. That is this Sunday, the 13th, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., brothers and sisters, all you need to do, if you have Zoom on your mobile device, your phone, tablet, whatever, on your computer, if you have Zoom, go to Zoom, put in the meeting ID, 834-6205-6943. That's 834-6205-6943. And then the password is going to be 903-304. That's 903-304. And that is this Sunday. Very light, good itinerary, not light itinerary, good itinerary with drumming coming in, libation done by Brother Kwaku from WADU. African players, our young children, Wototo, led by Mama Jackie. Greetings from the organizations. And brief explanation of Kwanzaa and Ujamaa by me. So I'm going to make sure I know what I'm talking about. Intro to educational institutions that we have, Liberated Minds, Palumbo, AYA, Entertainment, Baba Tunde, and Baba Akbar Imhotep, and that's great that he is doing it this year, because he was planning. He was one of the lead planners of last year, and he became ill, and so he was unable to attend and participate. And so it is great that he is with us, including intro of sections. This is the food for Green for Life, Chef Don Eats, Green Love, okay. And then is a good brother, Ross Kofi. Brother Ross Kofi, spit respect. Right. And then the bookstore, the Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, the Shrine of the Black Madonna, and Black Dot Cultural Center bookstore. And I promote all of them, and I patronize them too. Yes, the venue, and so other services. So that's what's going to be happening this Sunday. And then, of course, the Unity Circle. Mama Nabantu will lead us into the Unity Circle. So that's what's going to be happening, brothers and sisters. And hope that you will be with us to share in that. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. December 10th. Many of the problems and puzzles of history could be cleared up if we could only get over the absurd propaganda that Africa, for some strange and mysterious reason, has for ages been cut off from the rest of the world. Dr. John G. Jackson, a warrior scholar, great ancestor. Many Africans cannot get beyond Kemet in locating the origins of African civilization. But we must remember that Kemet was an extension of the more southern heart of an African civilization that spanned the entire continent. Kemet thrived and is best known primarily because of its extensive written record of African thought, its substantial, elaborate line of royal lineage, its strategic location and ancient trade, and its great scientific scholarly genius. However, many Africans who laud Kemet's greatness do so in a subconscious effort to remain within the field of European validation. They honor it only because it is being recognized as such by Eurocentric political science. The color and features of the Arab people who now occupy Kemet, unlike the ancient Kemetic people who were African, who were black, is closer to that of Europeans than Africans, and Medu Netcher is acceptable to European definitions of civilized writing. These Eurocentric rationalizations serve to disconnect Kemet from the rest of the African continent for these Africans, making it a safe place for them to search for their roots inside, but still outside of Africa. Affirm, I recognize all of the motherland as our undivided heritage. Affirm, I recognize all of the motherland as our undivided heritage. That is a deep one, because there are many of us, once again, when I say I love Africa, I love all of Africa. I'm a member of ASCAC, and the focus of ASCAC is ancient Kemetic history. There's no doubt about that. It is the high point, it is the apex, the zenith, the pinnacle of African high civilization, but there were others as well, of Timerian, Punt, and Nubia, many great civilizations. So, just to say Kemet alone, no. And that's why I think what Baba Baruti said and what Dr. John G. Jackson said in the quote is most correct and profound. December 11th. We know everything we need to know to teach our children. The fact that we are not doing it, it means that we don't want to do it. This is every time I read this quote, it saddens me, because it's true. We know everything we need to know to teach our children. The fact that we are not doing it means that we don't want to do it. Ronald Edmonds. As intelligent nation builders, we must be willing to openly admit the Western educational system is doing exactly what it was designed to do to our children. It is killing their curiosity and their will to think independently, while corrupting their truth with perverted, abnormal cultural imperatives. In reality, it is no more than another form of child molestation. If we are to save our children from this maddening diseducation, how we educate our children and what they come to know as truth must revert to what worked for our ancestors. What does this require? It requires educational institutions that work for us here and now. Mold them from the minds of our ancestors. It requires schools, good schools, especially for our youth, and politically separate from Eurocentric and Negro public and private institutions without ties to them or their curriculum. It requires teachers, better yet, healing educators willing to submit to the sacrifice of dedicating their lives to an African future. It requires specialized, ever-expanding African-centered curriculum, textbooks, and reading materials designed to satisfy our children's unique needs. Equally important, it requires supporters, investors, donors, committed, whether secretly or not, to subsidize this intergenerational educational initiative, an imperative. Affirm, I build, create materials for, educate in, and support African schools. Affirm, I build, create materials for, educate in, and support African schools. December 12th. You can't integrate the European side into the African side. You'll become schizophrenic. You got to integrate the old African side, which is our heritage, and the new African side, which is our reality, to produce a new African consciousness. Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. J. You study and emphasize differences between people when they have expressed and consequently and consequential meaning when they reflect and manifest real, tangible, effective forces between them, whether social, cultural, political, economic, familiar, educational, spiritual, military, emotional, all of the above. At the cultural ceiling, the cultural levels, Africans and Europeans are irreconcilably different in their assumptions about the creator, the universe, truth, and the purpose of life. This creates very distinct ways of how we look at, act on, and interpret each other and reality. Clearly, there is no gray area of worth. Only one way can rule any given mind. For fused, they induce insanity. Let me repeat. Only one way can rule any given mind. If it is fused, they induce insanity. If we are to ever be sane again, i.e. wholly ruled by an African sanity evolved and gathered from truth of our sojourn on this earth, we must come back into our own. Otherwise, the most we can expect is to remain senseless. We must come back into our own. Affirm, I straddle no fence nor wander around in any gray area. Affirm, I straddle no fence nor wander around in any gray area. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. The Enye Sesem. Okay. Got some more things that we can do. That's right. My good brother will be with us in the next few minutes. And that's cool. I tell you, this is all good. Well, so let me get off into a few other things. One of the things I want to talk about, there's been a couple of transitions. Marcus Garvey's son, his first son, Marcus Garvey III, he passed away at 90 years old here in the States and from Alzheimer's. I remember going to the University of Milwaukee, University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, WM, to hear Marcus Garvey. I heard him a few other places too, because he's part of some of the, you know, building and things that we need to do as African people. And so, yeah, he made his transition, Marcus Garvey III. I think it was in Maryland. I believe it was in Maryland. And also, too, Tiny Zeus Lister, Debo, from the Friday franchise, from the Friday movies, the antagonist, the antagonist of the movie, snatching people's chains and just terrorizing. It was good. I remember I'm going somewhere, and I think they had a wrestling meet because, you know, he was a wrestler, Tiny Zeus Lister, Tiny Zeus, and they called him Zeus. And so he and along with other wrestlers were coming into Milwaukee while I was on my way out somewhere, I believe. I don't know where. That's a long, quite a long time ago because he was still wrestling at the time. This is even before the movie, the Friday movie. So you know how long ago that was. But big man, gentleman, good man. He had got COVID. He died at 62. He had got COVID. He was fine. He got over it, and I guess the lingering effects of it caused him to have some respiratory issues, and they found him deceased at his home. Tommy Lister, Tiny Zeus Lister, deceased. Brother Debo. Let me do this, because I haven't done one of these in a while. You know, let me do this. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think and ends with what you do. If you think that our women ain't about nothing and don't deserve respect, they nothing but B's and H's and all that old madness, how will you treat them? What will your actions be? You will treat them as such. But if your thought pattern, your philosophy rather, but if your philosophy, what you think, that you understand that our women are to be supported, are to be protected, are to be nurtured and loved and cared, you will treat them as such. You will treat them with respect. Remember we had a program, what was that? On the sister, I was, what, Wednesday? No, I don't know. Was it Wednesday? Sometimes, you know, got to excuse Brother Oshie. You know, Brother Oshie's memory is, I need to be supposed to take ginkgo biloba, but I just keep forgetting to take it. But I'm going to take some other stuff because I don't want to be on radio trying to think about something and remember something. And I've got dead air and I'm just mumbling and stumbling and bumbling. You know, I don't want to do that. Your philosophy. That's right. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. That follows with what I just read from the Enye Sesim. If the information that our children are receiving, and it comes from us, and it comes from us in a loving, caring manner, and it comes from us from truth, it comes from us from a solid foundation, that truth will instill in them the confidence. That's what I'm saying. To me, what's more important from an educational standpoint is establishing a strong, solid foundation of early education. If I had the money right now, I'd set up a whole bunch of schools across this country, in the Caribbean, and on the continent of early education as a foundation for African nationhood. And so when the kids go to school here, their whole understanding is to get all that there is to they have to offer. When they go to high school, they can go to any high school. They can go to any university, college, trade school, technical school. They can go any damn where because why? They know who they are. They know how strong they are. That's what's important. So what you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you've been told. And look at us. Look at the things that we have been told. Look how we behave. Look at the self-hatred. Look at the disrespect that we show each other. depends upon what you've been told. Who has been doing the telling about who we are? The European, the Yorugu, the Caucasian. You know the other one. You know those other adjectives. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet, you young brothers and sisters, the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's trowel and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Go now and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Milton. Remember, I stated to you that you can go to YouTube and check out Brother Lester Velt Middleton and his interviews with John G. Jackson and Dr. John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben and Dr. Ivan von Sertemann and many others, great scholars of ours. That's the thing about YouTube. You can go let the ancestors speak. That's right. You can go hear the ancestors articulate. So is there something else I wanted to talk about while I wait for our good brother to call in? I thought there was. But apparently, that's right, I forgot. But hey, it happens that way, right? Happens that way sometimes. But what's important, I'm going to get it together, you know, sharpen up my memory. Because in this kind of position, if I'm on this radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and the whole objective is to disseminate information. That's why I watch the news. That's why I keep track of everything. I want to make sure, you know. So I got to do that. And I got to see it and remember it. You know, I can't always just go to YouTube and go to Facebook and only. I got to see it on the national news, on the computer, and have a good understanding of it, and so I can give it, especially things that I feel that need to be discussed and that you definitely need to know. Oh, this is messed up. They killed the brother. I'm not surprised. One of the five that they're going to kill. They've already killed 10 people now. The state, Donald Trump, his government. Never before since Grover Cleveland in the 1860s has a lame duck, which he is going to execute. So he executed this young brother, which everybody was stating you shouldn't do it, even jurors, even the prosecutors. But I knew he was going to do it because we didn't vote for him. He's such an evil, petty, narcissistic, evil man. He is an evil man. And he's got these Republicans scared in his clutches. There's a thing that the Attorney General of Texas is suing the battleground states of Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Is suing him. And the Republicans in the House and Senate are going for it. They have lined up to be behind it. This sugar honey iced tea is madness. This is crazy. But you know, I'm sitting back watching and saying, damn, this is crazy. Because it just goes to show how a man with the mentality of a Donald Trump, with the ego of a Donald Trump, who refuses to believe, just like I told you how delusional he is, what was that, last week or week before? When the stock market hit 30,000, supposedly, I don't know, I ain't got stock, a serious benchmark that he understood. He did the press conference 1 minute to talk about that, basically claiming, because it did come under his administration, so to speak, if you want to argue that. But the bottom line is that didn't happen because of him. It happened because he lost. It happened because they know he is out. And he hasn't said a damn thing about the multiple numbers of deaths. He wants to take credit, of course, for this coronavirus vaccine and in warp speed. Never before in the history of humankind has a virus vaccine been created so quickly and administered to literally hundreds of millions, because it's going to have to, because it's global. Maybe a trillion people, not trillion, a billion people. It's global. You know, so Trump, which of course, he's not going away. If I'm a member of the Democratic Party, I would get a caucus together and just kick his ass out. Kick him out. You know what? In light of what's happening, this election coming up, there should be no way in hell that John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock lose, considering all the stuff that's going on and how these folks are behaving. And if they lose, which is truly highly probable, considering this is still Georgia, even though Georgia turned on Trump, they may put that long-haired heifer and that lying-ass Purdue back in office. And, of course, if they do, because if you've seen their commercials of, you know, their commercials, very few of them state what they have done. Their commercials are attacking consistently the ideology of those people, some words out of context from them. They're constantly doing it. So, you know, if they do, but if this Biden administration has any chance at all of governing, of being able to change things, then Warnock and Ossoff have to win. And Kamala Harris would be the deciding vote, because the Senate would be 50-50. Not one of them can win. Both of them have to win. Both of them have to win. We'll see. And I'll be glad when this is over. I'm so damn tired of these commercials. You so lucky you don't live here in Georgia. I'm so tired of these damn commercials. It's unbelievable. All the lies, all the fabrication, all of this is just sickening. You know, you know, once the general election was over, November, whatever it was, third, whatever. But no, not here. And I've been seeing these commercials since March. February, March of this year. So damn near a whole damn year of this. So we'll see. We will see. It's going to be interesting. Because if they don't, you're talking about obstructionism before. You talk about being obstruction before when Barack came in 2008, he had the House and Senate. The people didn't come out in 2010, and he lost the Senate. The Tea Party was ravishing. I got a caller here, 646, good afternoon or good morning.
Adios, what's happening, brother?
Man, you know what? If I didn't hear from you today, I was going to call you, man, to see if you okay, because I ain't heard from you in over a week or so.
I was out of town taking care of some business, man.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
Trying to do what you got to do, man.
That's for sure.
It's sad that any place you go, black people are catching hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, for sure. That's by design. Always.
We in real trouble, brother. We don't even understand and really witness the type of pain and suffering that our people are facing. But we want to talk about, like you saying, these clowns in Georgia. And, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I really, t- to be honest with you, just got back in the loop of what's going on. Because, you know, the funny thing is, when you travel, man, it's hard to get into the loop of certain things when your phone ain't acting right. So, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm noticing that so much is being predicated on these two seats in Georgia, the Democrats winning it. But, I mean, if you notice what happened yesterday, Biden already done told you to kiss his ass. You know, he done already told you, I'm not doing nothing for you. I'm not giving you nothing. I done already gave you enough. And I gotta do for the Baba Louis and others.
Well,
it's crazy, B.
Well, yeah, you know, Biden is selecting many of the same people that was in the previous administration, Obama's administration, Susan Rice.
You didn't think he wasn't?
Huh?
You didn't think he wasn't?
Oh, of course I knew he was. Come on, stop it. Of course. Okay. I mean, if somebody was...
A lot of black people don't. You know what the funny thing is? Oh, shit, maybe you could answer this. Why is it we the only ones that deem to have black leaders? Could somebody tell me who the Baba Louie leader is? Could somebody tell me who the Jewish leader is? Who the white man leader is? Who the Chink leader is? Who the Jamaican leader is? Why are we the only ones that supposedly have leaders to fight for our so-called grievances, and all they do is sell us out? They don't give us nothing or get us nothing in return for their so-called leadership. It's pathetic, man.
The leaders in a lot of the other communities are people who are business people who are in, you know, so those are the leaders in some of those other countries. The leader, of course, here for us, have been people who are politicians, but more than likely clergy and politicians, you know, have been the leadership that we have dealt with over the many, many 40, 50 years of talking about leadership, you know. So, you know, hey,
but listen, now you were saying earlier that you sick of all of these commercials in Georgia and all of that.
Right.
My question to you is this. Do you think the commercials are being placed right? Do you think that it's really going to make a difference? Or is it just one of these things to where as some people just getting some dollars? You know what I mean? Are they strategically in the right positions to bring out the necessary votes, like, say, in the outer areas and things of that, to where as it could be beneficial if they really want to win the election? I mean, because to be honest with you, Democrats don't know how to win elections, P.
They really don't. I don't know about that. I mean, you know, Democrats, it's their system. It's their system, you know. So the Democrats and Republicans, it's just their system. The deal is, right. The crafting of the Republican Party is that we are losing it. We must maintain it. We can't let these liberals, these extremists get, because this is ours. So the Republican, the conservatives, you know, that's like I've always said this to, I even said this to one brother one time. I said, you call yourself a conservative? You mean you want to conserve this? You know what conservative means? To keep as is? You want to conserve this system? The way it has done and what it has done to us? Are you crazy? No, we should never be conservative and we shouldn't be liberal. We should be progressive. As African people, we should be progressive. We shouldn't be Democrat. We shouldn't be Republican because it's a different wing of the same filthy, funky-ass bird. It doesn't make any difference, Republican, Democrat, because one takes advantages of us and the other one ignores us, you know? So we should be progressive, and that's what we should be. But the bottom line is that we fall victim to these parties, you know? Just like Biden was telling. Yeah, it is. It really is.
We're in trouble, man. We as a people are in such deep doodle in regards to I'm just our position in this country. I mean, we're at the point to where as if you're not educating your children to look for some sort of fulfillment in life other than here in America, then you really doing them a disservice because the thing is this, we about to become dominated by another ethnic group.
Yeah.
We don't understand it. We don't realize it. Our position in the country is dwindling to the point to where, as we, like I keep saying, we're going to be like the Native Americans. And it's sad because we built this country. White folks need to preserve their position. And the immigrants who came in to this country are now wiping us out of the country.
Well,
I mean, it's
you have a lot
amazing.
Of Latino because, you know, Hispanic, whatever you want to call it. There's Spanish-speaking people from the...
I call them Babalouis.
Babalouis, whatever, from Puerto Rico, but from Honduras, from Nicaragua, from Mexico, all over. They have infiltrated. I ain't going to say, that's not a good word. They have came here. Some of them have come legally. Some have come illegally, if you want to use that term as well. But they are here, and they are here in mass numbers. They're the majority now in California and many other parts of the country. They have overtaken us as a so-called second number of people in this country after Caucasians. They are number two. We are number three. And poor indigenous people damn near being extinct. You know, but the bottom line is the people who still run this country, Caucasians, even though their numbers are dwindling, they're dwindling here, they're dwindling globally, they're dwindling in Europe, they're dwindling in Australia, even though they are decreasing significantly because they're experiencing negative population growth for every two that die, only one is born. So their numbers are, but yet and still they're going to maintain control. Don't get it twisted that, you know, yes, they say here in this country, majority rules because they help create a majority here by constant immigration and the decrease of other populations. So they become the numerical majority, but they were ruling in other parts of the world when they were not the numerical majority. The bottom line for Europeans, they want to rule. They want to dominate. They want to control. That's the bottom line. And they don't want to share. Listen, I got my guests coming up, brother. So you want to stick
Who's
around?
Your guest today?
My guest today is Brother Bomani Tahemba. He has just come back from Tanzania, Africa for the Africans. I'm excited because Brother Bomani is a good brother. And I... he's been on a few times before.
I've been knowing about the brother for years, man. I look forward to hearing it. And listen, Oios,
yep.
It's good to hear you again, brother.
No, good to hear.
Do your thing.
No, good to hear you, brother. Because like I said, I was going to put an APB out on your ass if I didn't hear from you today.
Hey,
it's been like 2 weeks, man.
You know what I mean? You don't gotta put the APB out on me, brother. I'm just trying to secure the check.
I hear you.
For myself and the family, man.
Right on.
You know, but listen, take care of yourself,
okay.
Man. I look forward to hearing the rest of the show, my brother.
Thank you. All right, Jay. My guest today is Brother Bomani Tahemba of Africans for the Africans. Brother Bomani has taken probably over 400 of our people to the continent in various tours over the many years. You can check him out on Facebook, facebook.com, where you can see pictures. You can check him out on YouTube, youtube.com/Bomani2007 for videos. And he has the updated videos from the Tanzanian tour. Brother Bomani, it's still afternoon. Good morning still. We got one more minute before it's noon. Good morning, Brother Bomani.
Good morning, brother. How are you? Greetings, family. This is Bomani Tahemba.
I am well, sir. How you doing today?
Doing well. Just getting ready to get things going for Ghana, leaving for Ghana in 13 days. So Just got back from Tanzania 2 weeks ago. So just trying to, not 2 weeks ago, but 12 days.
Right.
Just trying to get things going, and that's it. Just
how's the Ghana
trip?
How's the Ghana trip?
Supposed to be doing as a people.
How's the Ghana trip looking for you?
Ghana trip is good. We're 20 of us, and we're all set. Just trying to get people to stop freaking out about certain things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of them people that you know, I have military-style game plans, and that's how I've been able to build this business from 06 to now, and been able to travel to Africa every year from 04 to now, to a total of 10 different countries. We got to survey whatever situation is going on. So COVID-19 is the latest drama, but no one is stopping any of us or telling any of us we can't travel or go places. Because when I was in Zanzibar Island on this incredible black-owned resort, which, you know, it seemed like a white-owned resort because it was white-dominated because they were everywhere, white folks are just chilling, enjoying themselves. And it's like, when you look at them, you're like, there's no sense of COVID or anything going on. They're just at peace and enjoying themselves and everything. And same thing with our group. Our group was, once we got to that resort, we just like forgot about everything else was going on. But I'm just literally telling people that you can travel, and people like myself who have group tours, you roll with us. We go through everything, preparation, conference calls, video calls, group WhatsApp. Information is cycled to where it's almost impossible that you're not clear on it unless you literally don't want to read, join, or do certain things. So that's what we have set up. So for people who need to take their COVID test, I tell them simple things that, you know, you make sure you get your results the day before you, the results back on the day before you travel, or the previous day. So it's a simple thing. You just get the folks, whoever you're dealing with, let them understand I'm traveling on the 25th. I need my results back on the 24th or the 23rd.
Right.
And then they'll tell you when you have to come in to take it. And I tell individuals, that's it, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And because I just did the same thing in Tanzania, and I told people the same process, but some people got themselves caught up who went to Ghana by themselves. One person say that their COVID test came back late. Another person told me that their COVID test is expired.
The COVID test is expired.
So I just want people to take accountability, and let's use our brains and think about these things. And if you need help, people like myself are professionals who have done this business longer than anyone else I can think of that's still in this business. And I'm here to help and provide quick solutions. The only thing I tell people is, like, we're not going to do a bunch of back and forth, you know, because I know what I'm talking about, and my game plan works. And it's got me this far from building this business from nothing up to now to where we have a good success globally.
Well, I'm proud of you, man. And like I said, I plan to go on the trip to Tanzania this year upcoming, November 18th through the 29th. And you've been very fortunate to keep your prices very reasonable. You know, you've been very fortunate. And to me, that's a good thing, because that lets people know, hey, I can afford this. You know, I can put about $400 deposit down and pay on it once a month, you know, where it doesn't really hurt my pocket. I ain't got to pull a big chunk out of my savings or a big chunk out of my whatever I use my money for. You can spread that over that time. And then once you're ready, get your money together for your shopping and other incidentals, and you're ready to go. And it's inexpensive. I venture to say, you know, that with everything, about $5,000 could cover everything, wouldn't it?
Yes, literally. It depends if you're going to do a lot of shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But the tour is $3,700, and then includes your flights, includes full accommodation. So at the end of the day, the only thing that you have to really think about paying for is your lunch, and then any additional activities that you like, that you may want to do outside of the list of group activities and things like that. So just kind of make it simple to where everything is paid for before we go. That way, when we're there, none of us have to carry a ridiculous amount of money, and we can just, you know, do the basic spending that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the most important thing, all of the transportation and the tour sites are all paid for. So that package really includes a whole lot, because a lot of times when people write packages, they tend to not write all these things included. So I tell people the most important thing about when you're traveling and you're purchasing travel packages is make sure you read what's all included and what's not included, and then determine the factor. Like, some people may see a price for Tanzania tour for $2,800. Now you're like, my God, that is nice. But then again, they're going to tell you that there's no international flights and no domestic flights included. And they even tell you that the ferry boat ride is not included, things like that. Mm-hmm. But I have the ferry boat ride included, the domestic flights included, and the international flights included.
Yeah.
So you end up coming out a whole lot better when you put together group packages.
Right. And, of course, the bigger the group, the less it costs. That's why, you know, because you just came back from Tanzania, and looked like you had about 20 people with you.
It was 14 of us.
14. Oh, okay. Okay. I know. Also, I've seen Sister Amakus from One Africa.
That was incredible.
Yeah, I see Sister Amakus. She was in Tanzania with you guys. You were at the big dinner table. It was good to see her from One Africa, my good friend. But, yeah, you know, like I said, you got Ghana coming up this month, December 24th to January 5th. Then you got Senegal and Gambia. And you've been doing that for a number of years together, Senegal and Gambia. Well, of course, the countries are next to each other.
I've been trying to put Senegal and Gambia tours out for like a long time, for the last 10 years, but none of them have ever went through. But I've been to Senegal 3 times and a Gambia one.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be, right now we have 15 people, so we have for the first time we actually have a group of people ready to go.
Okay.
So sometimes things take a little more work and things like that. And so on, but this whole COVID drama has just caused issues after issues. But the only thing I can say good for the COVID situation, it opened my eyes up to where we were able to find a replacement for South Africa. South Africa is a nice country to go to, and the food is, it's hard to find other countries where the food is a lot better because it's a whole fishing coast. But beyond that, when I just compared the November South Africa trip last year to the Tanzania trip this year, it was just really no comparison, with the exception of the biggest thing being the food in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa was was cold when we got to Cape Town last year, but Tanzania, the weather was just perfect, brother.
Yeah.
I'm talking about 75, 80 degrees all year round. Even when it was on the beach and everything, that you thought that you may get a cold spurt of this coldness, that didn't even happen.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm really looking forward to it. Did you guys go to Jackie Robinson's son's? He has a coffee it's a coffee farm.
I have no knowledge of that. A lot of things we didn't have knowledge of. But even in some cases, we're still limited on things to do because we only have a few tour days throughout the whole schedule.
Right. Right.
And we're moving 3 parts of the country. But I have a nice little flow in Arusha. Certain things in Arusha are flexible.
That's pretty much where you staying in Arusha pretty much the majority of the time?
No, I don't do that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I go out to the popular parts of the country. So we did Arusha for 3 days. I should say 3 nights. Zanzibar Island for 3 nights and Dar es Salaam for 2 nights.
Okay.
It'll be like 8.5 days.
Okay, because you fly into Dar es Salaam, correct?
Another sequence of how I do my itinerary different. Everything for me is based on like logistics to the highest level. I mean, working for the Navy in aviation maintenance and just working for the airlines. I see how schedules are plotted out, and they plot schedules out perfect. Like you can learn a lot from how they plot schedules out. So what I've seen with the schedule is the best thing for us to do is to leave from Amsterdam and fly into Kilimanjaro Airport.
Okay.
And once you get to Kilimanjaro Airport, it's an hour ride to Arusha. And then the new schedule has us staying in Arusha for 4 nights, so which is good because you don't want to get off of a plane and get right back on a plane.
Right.
And then once we leave from Arusha, the flight, we have to go back to Kilimanjaro Airport, which is a 1 hour ride. And the flight goes from Kilimanjaro Airport to Zanzibar, and from Zanzibar to Dar es Salaam. So on the trip coming up in November, we'll actually get off the plane at Zanzibar and then continue with our touring in Zanzibar. But what we did this time, we literally just stayed on the plane, and then we got off at Dar es Salaam, and then we did our 2 days in Dar es Salaam, and then we went to Zanzibar Island to just close out. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons for that is that the resort we stayed at, Kenwa Rocks Beach Resort, they have this full moon party, full moon party. And it's just something that, if you have a chance to experience it, you want to experience it. I mean, I'm not fond of just being around all them white people and things like that. But it was
me
a lot
either.
Of fun also there.
That's why I don't want to go to South. Hey, me either. That's why I was happy you nicked South Africa when you said that. That made me say, yeah, I want to go.
Yeah, and then even when you get to Zanzibar Island, the itinerary that we have, you're there for 3 days. You'll see them because they're going to be in that resort that we are, because they find the nicest resort far away from everything else. And they think that they're going to be there by themselves. And me and my crew to show up like surprise. And that, so it's crazy. So it's 14 of us. We eat, you know, me, I'm all about like black power. So we have dinner. All of us sit together. We order dinner, eat dinner together.
Right on.
So all these white people, like, who's all these group of black folks? Yes, and they're lucky, right, because usually I have like 30, 40 people with me.
Right
because
on.
Because of the COVID and stuff, I lost a lot of people. But
well, let's hope.
It's always
let's,
funny, let, though.
Yeah,
it's
let's
always
hope.
Funny. Like, they look at us like, what are you doing here? I'm looking at you like, what are you doing here?
Yes, for sure.
I had one of the fanciest, the nicest villas. So it was connected to another villa. And this white lady was like, she was tripping the whole time. And I'm like, what are they doing here? How could they afford this villa? And it's like, it's sad because they act like we can't enterprise or we can't put our money together. Or we can't work hard and pay for things. But it was a good experience, man. But that was a trip part of it that I have to share with people, that everyone else love our continent to the point where they wonder, like, why are we doing on our own continent?
Yeah, well, you know, they think they run the world. So, you know, and all the leisures that, you know, if you ever gone to the Caribbean, because the Caribbean is a playground for the Europeans. And I've been to few islands, you know, in the Caribbean, you know, like Barbados. I love Barbados, but, you know, Barbados is British, and the British come there seriously. You don't see a lot of U.S. Caucasians. You see a lot of British Caucasians. Probably the same might say about Jamaica, you know. But they feel that it is theirs, you know. In fact, what are you just like you said? What are you doing here? You know, because they want an environment where we serve them, you know, we placate to them, you know. That's what they always want, an environment where we are seen and not heard, and of course, whatever it is that they wish, it is our command. That's what they want. You know, did you get a chance to, did you go to the Serengeti?
No, I didn't get to the Serengeti. We went to Arusha National Park, and that's it for me as far as animals. It was one day.
Okay.
It was a 1-hour ride to Arusha National Park, and we did like a few hours, and it was nice. We was in our own Toyota Coaster bus, and we're able to drive our own vehicle around, so that was good.
Good.
And, The big thing with that is if you want to do certain safaris, you have to be further out and you have to spend a few days. But I can't damage my roots and culture too by being out there with binoculars and sightseeing, looking for animals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But however, I asked our tour guide and the folks that was putting our tour package together to give me a 5-day Serengeti tour package so I can promote it for them. Either it's a standalone or it can be an optional after the tour is over, mm-hmm. and things like that. That way I can promote it because I don't want to, you know, I'm not into animals like that, but other people may be. And,
right.
And I want to provide a service and, you know, and because it's a good business and it's a great experience. It's just that I find going into the historical museums and going to the culture centers, I find that just a lot more valuable because you're connecting with the roots, the culture, you're connecting with people. And you're connecting on how we can build things together. Not saying that wildlife is not important, you know, but we know who has made it very important. They're always on all the safaris. You definitely go on them safaris, they're going to definitely look at you like what you're doing there.
Yeah. but no,
I remember
you know
the one
what?
In South Africa, it was just like we got into a safari vehicle. And every time I get to put my camcorder up to try to shoot a shot, the white folks just jump in front of me. So I was like, I'm not getting in another vehicle with them, and I'm not doing that kind of safari again.
Well, you know, I'm in agreement with you. I'm not a real safari kind of person, although when I've gone to Ghana, I've gone to Moli Park. But, you know, you don't see very much up in Moli Park, unless, of course, you probably have to stay quite some time and get further away from the cabins, you know, to really see anything. But, I'm in agreement with you. I would rather go to the museums. I'd rather go to other parts of cities and see how our brothers and sisters are living and so forth. Because, I mean, for me, going to Africa is more about, could I live here? You know, is this some place that I know that I could finally say I could live here? And that's why I'm looking forward to going to Tanzania. And I know there was a brother from here in Atlanta. I don't remember the brother's name, him and his wife. But I remember going to his home because he was selling a lot of his stuff, moving to Tanzania, you know. And from what I understand, talking with Mama Marimba Ani, he's doing quite well. And this was some many years ago, you know, I first got here, probably about 5 years ago or so, you know. So that's what I'm looking at, you know, as a place. But I want to go to other places. Aside from what you have here, do you have anything coming up for 2022 that you are thinking about in terms of someplace different?
Yes, exactly. What I have, not different, but what I have is the schedule of Senegal and the Gambia, and that's April 2nd to the 12th, 2021. And I got Ghana May 24th to June 5th. Then we'll clear the summer, and then we do the next back-to-back, which is Tanzania, November 18th to the 29th. And then Ghana, December 24th to January 5th. So those are my four tour schedules, and then the four countries, and then Ghana being a country we got business in, we just try to do that twice a year, because I usually get, without even trying, I usually get a lot of people
right.
to Ghana. Even during a pandemic or this plandemic or this crazy stuff they got going on, I was still able to get 20 people to come with us, and we had a lot more than that even recently, and mm-hmm. people started freaking out towards the end, and I said, you know, I'm not here to force you to the situation. We have another tour next year, May. You can join that one, and it's all good, and things like that. Because people are really freaking out, and so I'm trying to travel to all these countries and record everything and show them, like, yo, I'm here, my son is here, my family is here, my
right.
group members are here, and we're no different from you, you know what I'm saying? We're not immune to anything, you know? And if there was something going on, we'd all die right now. I was in Tanzania. No one was wearing masks. I did not see one person.
Right. I think I've watched at least about four of your videos that you have posted on YouTube, brothers and sisters. Once again, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007 and you can check out the videos of the just up previous tour to Tanzania. He has a lot of them there, you know, and people are looking good. The whole atmosphere is beautiful. The bus, the hotel, the restaurants, you know, man, out of sight. Definitely would want to make me want to go to check it out, to be a part of it, you know, for sure. You know, listen, Brother Bomani, I'm going to take a break. Okay. When I come back from the break, we'll continue this conversation. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking with Brother Bomani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans. And you too can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. But more importantly, you too can understand how you can go on a trip of a lifetime, a journey of a lifetime, go back home to the motherland. Brother Bomani, how many people do you estimate that you have taken back to Africa and over the times that you have been doing your tour guides?
Yes, I've taken over about 460 different people.
Almost 500 people. Man, that's beautiful.
Yeah, about 460. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get these numbers in place.
Okay. Well, all right. We'll be right back, brothers and sisters. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you. celebrate Kwanzaa, cause it's a way to teach the principles that we must learn to reap the wealth of every seed we sow. The Nguzo Saba gives us values and a way to show we're building a future we can harvest so the world will know.
We come from the ancient world.
Make a mental list of all the things our freedom consists of. We share the purpose our people must unite for. Determine for ourselves what we choose to live or die for. We have the faith, the creative mind. It comes to us through our ancestral bloodline. Collective work, responsibility for our global economics and political destiny.
I want to say that I'm an African. I celebrate Kwanzaa because I'm an African.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Well, welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The other programming, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk very quickly about the program on Sunday, the virtual pre-Kwanzaa celebration that we used to have, a pre-Kwanzaa celebration here in Atlanta at the Pittsburgh Center in the Pittsburgh community, located southeast of the Midtown area. That's my direction, I guess. And it's sponsored by ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, the ASCAC Atlanta, as well as WADU, Georgia. WADU stands for the Worldwide African Diaspora Union, and the Pittsburgh Collaborative. And it's promoting businesses. We're going to have drumming, entertainment. The theme is Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, Ujamaa. And it's going to be this Sunday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., this Sunday. From 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. And if you have Zoom, and there's a dial number here. I'll give this to you, but I'm not sure if you dial that number, you can still get in on the call. I'm not sure. But the number is 312-626-7777. 6799. That's 312-626-6799. But the number you have, the meeting ID and the passcode, is what you need if you have Zoom. If you Zoom on any mobile device, your telephone, tablet, whatever, laptop, you have Zoom on your computer, laptop, or desktop, go there, put in the meeting ID, 834-6205-6943. That's 834-6205-6943. And then put in the passcode, 903304. The passcode is 903304. And this Sunday, you can be a part of the pre-Kwanzaa celebration and learn some good stuff. They got some good information. They're talking about the community in terms of education, the institutions. We have AYA, Liberated Minds, Quilombo, doing outstanding work. Talking about the organizations involved. WADU, ASCAC, everybody's talking about, I mean, everybody, they'll give their little summations. The entertainment we have is Baba Tunde and Baba Akbar Imhotep. And as I said earlier, it's really great that we have Baba Akbar Imhotep because he was ill last year. He was the head of the planning last year, you know, and he had set it up. I mean, because we had a beautiful Kwanzaa celebration at the shrine, at the exchange, at the art exchange, you know, so looking forward to that. And also to the restaurants that they're going to promote, Chef Don Eats and Green for Life and Green Love. Got Brother Roz Kofi. DJ. And then, of course, the bookstores that that'll be promoted. The bookstores, the Meddu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Shrine of the Black Madonna bookstore located in the West End. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. And the Black Dot Cultural Center and bookstore located in Lithonia. So that's what's going to be happening this Sunday. And, of course, at the end of the program, we have the Unity Circle and Mama Nabantu will get us together and we'll do our seven Harambes. So I hope you can attend the virtual, the Zoom conference, the Zoom celebration. And it's going to be outstanding. Once again, my guest, of course, today is Brother Bomani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans. As you know, if you listen to this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I always mention Africa for the Africans and what they're offering our people, the places that you can go that he has tours for, the cost, and how you can access that. Everything that you need to go on a trip of a lifetime, a journey of a lifetime to our motherland, is on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Information concerning the papers you may need, the visas, the shots, all of those things, and, you know, tremendous guidance. In fact, I once again thank you, Brother Bomani, when I went to Ghana last year. You were a tremendous help as always. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. We specialize in tour preparation, getting folks ready, visas, all that stuff. We try to look out for folks, look out for our people. And then, you know, a lot of times it's just information and this access to sharing it where we just may have a slowdown. But, yeah, visas and things like that can be complex. So I have a nice visa email for all of the countries that we travel to that requires visa, Tanzania, the Gambia, and Ghana.
And that's important. You know, you got to have it. You know, what I'm worried about, because I don't want to take this damn shot, man. I don't want to take this vaccine. I really don't. But I got a feeling that in order to fly international, and maybe even domestically, maybe here and domestically, in order to fly, you're going to have proof of the vaccine. You know, just like when you go to, I went to Ghana, I had to have a yellow fever. And I had not had a yellow fever shot. You know, now I don't have to get a yellow fever shot anymore. I guess I'm too old, you know, so I don't have to have the last yellow fever shot I had was over 10 years ago, you know? And so, no, it shouldn't have been that because I went to Ghana. Oh, okay. Yeah, could have been. Okay. So do you have you heard that, Brother Bomani?
I repeat that one more time. Did I hear what?
That in order for you to travel internationally, that you may have to have something that states that you have had the vaccine, that you have you've taken the vaccine.
Yeah, that's the reality of the situation that we're going to have to deal with. Like right now, all of us are taking COVID tests to enter certain countries, but we didn't have to take a COVID test to come back to the U.S. That was the thing that was the trip. That's what's going to probably be in place. It's kind of like, you know, all the momentum for mandatory vaccination and all these crazy things that these people have been plotting with their New World Order, they literally have got the momentum. You know, the people gave them, they gave up their rights and gave them those momentum to do whatever when this whole crazy stuff happened with this, fake pandemic. So people just have to take accountability for it, that, you know, they empowered the world to do this. So that's where we're going. It's going to be mandatory vaccination. So if you don't have a vaccine card, you're not going to be able to leave the country. That's where you're going to see this thing being played out, especially with all of the drama before this, you know, this one. It was either Ebola here, either this virus here, that virus. So you had a little small little energy going over the last 10, 20 years of stupid stuff like this, to where now they finally got the big one, and this is it right here. So I don't know how people are going to feel about it, and I don't know how I feel about it myself. I don't want to take nobody's vaccination. I don't want nobody to, you know, when I think about vaccination, I think about the Tuskegee experiment, and that just traumatized me. You know? So
yeah,
I think most of us look at it as us being guinea pigs for these folks, and that's why we're not really trying to think about it. So I don't know. The audience, other people think?
Yeah. Well, brothers and sisters, give us a call. Tell us what you think at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, I remember early on when they started talking about the vaccine, I'm talking about maybe April, May, some French scientists were exposed to saying, yes, we need to try the vaccine out on Africans. Take the vaccine to Africa and try it out on them. I mean, just boldly and brazenly saying, you know, they are our guinea pigs. They are our test tubes. We can go to Africa and shoot all these. And then you had a country, I can't remember which country it was, said, yes, we will be willing to, as a country, to allow the vaccine and our citizens to be given the vaccine. And I'm like, damn, you know, when you consider what's in vaccine, and when you consider when they're talking about population control, you know, Bill Gates is probably one of the main ones that I can remember saying it to a group of people that we have a vaccine for population control. I didn't know vaccines were for population control. I thought vaccines were to help cure people of whatever disease and so forth there might be. Vaccines for population control? You know, but here he is. He said it. You know, that's why I don't trust him, and I don't trust Dr. Fauci. I don't trust all. I don't, just like you said, Brother Bomani, I don't trust these Caucasians. I don't, you know, but also, too, I recognize whether we want to call it a pandemic or a plandemic, people are dying. I know now 15 people, almost 15 people who have died, you know, personally, who have died from this virus. The first two people to die in Milwaukee, where I'm from, were two people I knew, you know, and they went down fast. I'm talking about, one was a firefighter who also I went to school with, and I'm a retired firefighter. And the other one was a police officer who was the president of the Black Police Officers Association at the same time I was the president of the Black Firefighters Association. And we had collaborated on a few things. One was cadet programs, getting young people involved in firefighting and police, you know. But anyway, they both caught it, and they were dead within days. I'm like, damn, you know, but they both had you know, they both fit the description of age. You know, Lenny, I'm quite sure, is about 70 years old, you know, and the other brother is in the late 60s, 67, 68 years old. And they both had underlying health issues. Lenny was diabetic, and Brother Lawrence had a heart attack. He had heart issues. And they went into the hospital, and within a few days, they were dead. And so I said to myself, I know I can't get this because I have had pneumonia many times. And that's what the disease is. It's a respiratory disease, you know. So, you know, to me, it ravages, it seemed to be in this country, in Europe, but in Africa, outside of South Africa, it doesn't. And just like I seen the pictures or the videos that you shared from your recent trip in Tanzania, nobody has on a mask. There was no, that wasn't an issue, was it?
No issues and no mask mandate there. It was funny because we all had our mask on, and then once we started realizing that none of the Tanzania airport staff was wearing masks. In some parts, like in Dar es Salaam, you see them wearing a mask because KLM is going to push those things and things like that. Mm-hmm. But out of their own doing, any place that we literally have went, a restaurant, bars, clubs, museums, historical places, cultural centers, social places, the hotels, nothing, brother. It was like living in two different worlds. It's like leaving from one planet to the next. It's that much of a difference.
Right.
And then people are not dying. So like you mentioned that people are dying here. People are not dying there. So that's the issue that kind of confuses things.
Like, right.
How come this is going on in this country, which has a ridiculous amount of white tourism and tourism period? Because when everywhere else was closed down, Tanzania was open. So people from everywhere in the world, Tanzania probably had never had this much level of tourism for the last several months.
Well, that's because good.
That was the only safe country to go to where you can still do your safari, you can still do your beach activities, and you can still do your things you do in the city and nightlife and things like that. Mm-hmm. I even went out to a nightclub, and it was at least 300-400 people. And the same thing, too, even when it turned our resort into a nightlife beach party, mm-hmm. it was like hundreds of people there, not one person with a mask. And you know, I was almost sure that I would have COVID or something like that, or come back in and something happened to me, but we're all fine.
Right on. Yeah. So when you went to the beach when you were in Dar es Salaam, right?
I went to the beach on Zanzibar Island. We did a beach in a beautiful resort.
Oh, okay. In Zanzibar. Okay. I see it right here. I'm looking at the map, and I see right Zanzibar Island. Because I know that Dar es Salaam is on the coast too, on the Pacific, or that's the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, Dar es Salaam is close. So the flight, we'll go to Zanzibar Island first because it's much closer to Arusha.
Mm-hmm.
And our flight. And then once you land and get back in the air, it's a 30-minute flight, if that. The sequence is very important for us to get. But I see a lot of times people land at night in a major city like Dar es Salaam. Like I met a lot of people that were from America, and they have never been anywhere outside of Dar es Salaam. And so we're telling them we're here, we're there, we went to this place, that place. But I realize that's the difference between someone that's coming to experience the country, learn about the country, and someone that's coming just to run away from America and just get settled in the country. Because I met people that was just running away from America. And it's like, if that's what you want to do, that's what you do. But I'm not running anywhere unless I'm building something.
Right on. You know what I mean? Good.
So that's what I tell people, because you're running from one drama to to another drama, because I would never say Africa is more drama. It's more drama if you're not prepared and organized, if you're not willing to do the work.
Yeah.
But going to Africa is always a better plan than being here, but it tends to not be as organized. It tends to not be a good decision if you're not as organized. Because I've seen people go from doing well for themselves and then come back homeless or come back struggling, nothing to really... Because, once you leave, you sell all your stuff and you're giving up a lot of things. And you're thinking that this is just going to work, and there's no guarantee it works. So if anybody wants to ever talk to somebody, I'm available to explain that to them, that why I've traveled to Africa for 16 straight years and I've not moved.
Right on.
And anybody want to talk down to me because of that, I can explain that to them. Especially if you have family, children, and you have things. For me, it's wiser for me to put all of that time and energy into working on what I'm working on from a distance. So we have land in Ghana. We have a community we're building. We're reaching out to people to be a part of the community, and we're putting things in place, and we're working with everyone right where they are right now. That way they could be in a better position when they're ready to move, you know, to where everything is set for you.
Where's the land in Ghana at?
The land is outside of Winneba, which is the...
Winneba, yes.
Yeah, the middle city between Accra and Cape Coast. Yes. About an hour and a half each way.
Yeah,
and we're 2 miles away from the beach. And just like I was telling you, we're in Zanzibar and Beach Resort.
Yeah.
That's not nothing compared to that. But I tell people that we can invest in the beach, and we can build villas, and we can build shops. We can build all the stuff. Because I think about all of the places I've been to. I've been to some incredible places, and I come up with, I get all these ideas someplace. Like, you know, I was in Brazil a few years ago, then Dominican Republic, same thing a few years ago, Turkey and Cape Coast, and I'm from Jamaica, and every once in a while I go back and check out certain beautiful parts of Jamaica, and I'm starting to see where else I've been. The Bahamas and places like that. You compare that element, and even if you just... Go up to the U.S., Myrtle Beach, Panama City, Daytona Beach, Miami Beach, Fort Lauderdale Beach. You know, we have enough experience of being around these places where we say, damn, this is like white dominated.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm telling people, that this is our beach and our community. It's nice. We can put the work into it and build it to that level where we have a beach community. Great investment.
Well, that's one of my first trips to Ghana, and we stayed in that resort in Winneba. It's old. It was old then. That's 20-something years ago, you know. And, to me, I fantasize. If I had the money, I would build that place up tremendously, go pick up people and then state to people that here's the opportunity to come to Africa in a beautiful resort to relax. And then we're close to the dungeons, to Cape Coast and Elmina Dungeon. We're close to Kumasi. We're close to Accra. But you can use that as a headquarters or as a place to branch out from there, that you can go other places in Ghana. And the atmosphere would be beautiful, the beaches, the swimming, you know. I was like, man, it could be outstanding. You know, like I said, I don't know if you know that particular piece of property, you know, in Winneba. But, and in fact, it may not be happening, because to me, it wasn't happening when we were there, you know, because we were the only people there. And we had a small party of about 15, 20 people at that. And, it's a place that could accommodate a number. We have a caller, Brother Bamon. Let me take this caller.
Excellent. Caller.
All right. Caller 919. Good afternoon. Okay. Just want to listen. Caller 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshi, Brother Bamani, greetings, Brother Marcus here.
Greetings, my brother.
Greetings, Marcus.
Yes. You know, them say that that airline that fly out Australia, Qantas, they are requiring you to have a vaccine. You got to be vaccinated to travel on that airline, on Qantas airline. So we got to look out for that. And what really spooked me about this vaccine, when I heard that Prince Philip, the one who was advocated, oh, you have too much people on the planet, we need to reduce the population.
Right.
And Bill Gates have a patent for this vaccine here. That spooked me right there. That was make your antenna go up right there. Let them know, these people don't have no good intention. I'm telling you, you know, and as we say, you know, they are a dying tiger. The white man is the dying tiger. But he's trying to take as much people with him on his journey to death.
Yeah.
See, these people here, they're just evil to the core, man. I'm telling you.
Yes, I agree.
But you know, the thing, you know, a lot of people fleeing, as they say, they're leaving. But as Brother Bamani said, sometimes you might jump out of the frying pan into the fire. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful what you're doing. God, you're right. A lot of people liquidate everything and leave it. But the thing is, you see this year breaking down in the schoolhouse. So we don't want to get trapped in here if this year fall apart, because we've seen it fall apart right in our eyes. So we got to, wherever we go, we got to go fortify that, because we don't want no civil unrest to break out, you know, where we heading. You know, we don't want no people. So we have to go with that mindset that wherever we go on the continent, we're going to have to pollute their mind with our mindset, with our black mindset. We got to, you know, wherever we go, we got to permeate that area with our psychology, the black psychology, to reorientate the minds of those people that we go in that environment that we go into. Because we know that, you know, without that, we're going to have problems.
Yeah.
We don't want it. We don't want to have a Liberia again. We don't want to have another, you know. So we have to go with a program to inoculate the minds of our people and the continent, that we can, you know, that we can and move ahead.
Because right.
Without peace, we ain't going to be able to move ahead.
Well, you know, the idea is that we're coming to help. We're coming to build. We're coming to build with each other. It's not like you said, in Liberia, when the attitude at that time was, well, we're better because we were born in America. We're better because we're closer to Caucasians. And then the African says, no, we're better because this is our land and so forth. And that problem is still going on in Liberia today.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so so the issue for us should be is that we're coming to share. We're Africans who have some skills, who have been in America for the last few centuries. We have some skills, and we want to help build. We want to get rid of all the neo-colonialists, all of the despots, all of the ignorance, all of the foolishness, and build Africa for Africans. Build Africa.
Yes,
it's really, Brother Marcus and Brother Bomani, is our only salvation.
It's our only salvation, and we're going to have a bigger fight on the continent than we have here, actually. The fight is going to be on the continent, you know, but it is a fight that we have to do if we want to going to win this war. We're going to, you know what I'm saying? So the battle is for the minds of our people.
Yes.
But with brothers like you and brothers like Brother Bomani, you know, we're going to win. We're going to win the struggle in spite of how dismal it looks, you know, because when you look at the whole time span of when black people been on this planet, for these few thousand years we've been going through is minuscule.
Right.
It's minuscule to compare to the length of time that we have been here.
Anyway,
good brothers, keep on keeping on.
I appreciate you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend, Brother Marcus. Thank you.
You too.
Take care, brother. Appreciate your energy. Excellent.
Yes, Brother Bomani. Respect.
404-504-504-504. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, go ahead. You're on.
Oh, greetings. Yeah, this is Sister Haiba. Really enjoying your show as usual.
Thank
it's
you.
Wonderful. And I was just, and also appreciate all the sharing that the Brother Bomani is telling us about Tanzania. That's really beautiful and awesome and powerful. You know, you were speaking earlier about the vaccine, and, you know, the question is saying that if we want to travel, we may have to take it, but I feel we should not take that position that we may have to take it, because by all and any means necessary, we should not be taking that vaccine. It's genocidal, be very deleterious, because this vaccine, as has been stated, wants to get into your messenger RNA, your DNA. You know, so this could have all kind of deleterious effects to us, you know.
Well, I mean, there's
like
some other...
being, you know, guinea pigged and...
Yeah.
You know, it's notorious. And so I feel that we should not, our position should not be, that they force us to take this. I mean, because we have human rights, and that is not a plausible alternative. It's very deadly. And just like, you know, and Pfizer has been the one that's been approved to do this. And, you know, Nigeria ran Pfizer out of there. Pfizer was in there killing the people off in Nigeria. They ran Pfizer out when they were coming in with their vaccines, you know. So, you know, we should be still be able to travel to Africa or whatever we want to do, but that's not, you know, I feel we have to have another strategic approach. And I just say, I'm just going to take this vaccine because it contributes to our own demise. It's hazardous. It's you know, it's not acceptable.
Well, you know, there's a lot of information. Some may argue disinformation, a lot of thoughts and conspiracies and so forth about the vaccine. Some even say people who take the vaccine that the vaccine contains your DNA. It can implant a chip. I don't know.
Right. You know. So, it's come up that Cuba they have a lot of expertise and information that would be more trustworthy. And, you know, some kind of way we can work with them, too. That's something also that Minister Farrakhan, he's advocated that, too. Mm-hmm. But what U.S. is putting out with Pfizer, that's too detrimental to us.
Well, you know, it's down the road somewhat, you know, for us on the travel team. But the vaccine is being implemented almost immediately. And that's another scary thing.
Yeah, right. It was such a rush to do it, you know. And it's like, and then they try to give you this rhetoric that we really concerned about you blacks, and you all are so vulnerable. So therefore, we want you all to have it first, be among that's some diabolical rhetoric.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, you know, that's
remember,
the thing.
Like we said, we have to remember what has gone on. These are the same people with Tuskegee, and it have not changed.
Yeah.
And it's really sad that they're having some black positions and things that, you know, they're getting on and saying, look, here, I'm taking it, so you all take it. But see, they could either be brainwashed or corrupted by it or believing it because what they're saying, and they'd be doing something else. And they, you know, so it's
or really, they could be taking something else, or they're not really taking it at all, even though you see them get a shot. You know, because that's how they're trying to promote it. They got the one sister who helped develop the vaccine, I think, for Moderna, one of the three companies that had produced the vaccine. And they're using her and saying she is the one that helped create this vaccine. So, you know, so you should be able to take it. Then you have a brother who is the president of the American Medical Association. Yeah. One of them is the black one. I don't know if it's the National Medical.
That's the black one, National Medical Association.
Okay.
Right.
And so he's promoting. He was on the national news this morning. He's promoting it and wanting to get it into, into our communities and so forth.
It's such a travesty because they should not be believing in what these people are telling us. Mm-hmm. From Pfizer and all these people. You know, I mean, because that whole system is very racist. I mean, they do some diabolical things in the medical field. They're very racist. I mean, they'll be teaching you racist things, you know, and we can't just be believing this and spreading this false atrocities to our people like that.
I hear you. Brother Bomani, did they, were you and your group supposed to take a COVID test prior to boarding or prior to going to Tanzania?
Yes, that's correct. And the same for Ghana. Your results need to show within 3 days of your, from your day of your arrival into the country. So once you get to Tanzania, it just have to show that you took the test and have a negative result.
Okay.
In the last 72 hours.
Okay.
Or 3 days. And that's same for Ghana. But once you get to Tanzania, they're just going to temperature check you and do a few things and have you fill out some health paperwork, and then you move forward in Ghana. They want to like tax you another $150 and give you one of their tests to make sure that everything is good. So, you know, that makes a difference in what country you choose.
Yeah. Well, how much is it in Ghana?
$150.
Like $150? $150 CDs or $150?
No, $150 US dollars.
$150 US dollars?
Yeah, so the COVID test that we take here in Atlanta, we go to one of these 24-hour spots. And we just get our result the day before we travel.
Right.
It's $100 here. So for those who are here in Atlanta with me, unless you're one of the people who can get the free test, which is fine, But this is our 24 hours, so it's more of a guarantee, like, you know, results. So you literally $100, then $150, so that's $250 right there. Some people right. may have to pay more for their COVID test. It depends on where they are and, yeah. and things like that. But it's a financial situation that people are throwing are wasting money because of this now. So $250 is a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
Spend on your trip when you you know when you do somewhere for 10 days, it's a good amount of your spending money.
Yeah.
So it's throwing some people off. So I'm hoping that Ghana, the country itself, becomes smart and then just literally just stop doing that, because you're gonna have to figure out different ways. Not you know, even if you just do it for a lower price, that would also help. Yeah. But. You know?
But I mean, you know, it's
that's why people want to go to Tanzania. So I'm all game for it, and I have it on a permanent schedule because they're the only country that I've seen so far since this fake outbreak that have literally done it right. You know, I mean, they do it. You know, they did their research, they did certain things, and they just said, you know what, we're going to open our economy because everything is good. And when you get there, you'll feel like everything is good because you don't see sick and dying people. You don't see hear about hospitals being overrun. Like I call my family in Brooklyn, New York. And I'm so happy I left that place because it's like, I don't know if New York is like a target for this chaos, but it's like, they're telling me hospitals are overfilled and people are dying. I'm like, who's dying? So I don't see the same. I'm here in the South Side here in, you know, in Georgia, here in, you know, in Clayton County. And you know, I drive by the hospital almost all the time. It's right there off the interstate. I don't see anything going on, but I am, something is going on, but I don't know who can put their hands on it. But all I know is like, you know, Tanzania figure it out and other people may have to do what they need to do, because other than that, they're going to lose tourism. Like South Africa have lost all the tourism to everywhere else, especially Tanzania, because Tanzania can match up with them toe-to-toe on everything. And that's what I was explaining to one of my associates earlier and a few other people, that when you talk about wildlife, when you talk about beaches, when you talk about you know, coastal line, and you're talking about import, export, shipping, business enterprise, and good roads, good infrastructure.
Yeah, that's why I'm. That's why I'm anxious.
Tanzania will come out in the win if you know if you just match up all those things.
Yeah, that's why I'm. That's why I'm anxious.
Give them a boost, huh?
That's why I'm anxious to really check it out, Tanzania or Tanzania.
Yeah, it just depends on if you pronounce the English word pronunciation, Tanzania. I'm Tanzania. The way we pronounce it in America, that's the English pronunciation, and in Swahili, Tanzania is the proper pronunciation.
Tanzania.
So you find yourself using both, but it's both correct because one is Swahili and one is English. You know, the British or English people have their own pronunciation of words. Like in okay. Ghana, the British word is Ashanti, and their Khan word is Asante.
Okay.
So it's never really a wrong or right thing because you're just using two different languages.
Okay. Well, I want to use the African language, so it's Tanzania. Tanzania. That's what I'll be saying from now on, Tanzania. So, but anyway.
Swahili is a beautiful culture of words also, so yeah. We're trying to get more into learning Swahili because I realize that it is an English former colony, but at the same time, too, English is the main language everywhere,
right.
But most people don't speak English, so you'll end up speaking more Swahili. So we'll get off better by learning more Swahili.
Yes, I agree, and that's what we should be done. So, brother, we only got a couple of minutes. We only got a couple of minutes, Brother Bomani. I want you to give me some closing remarks. You know I'm going to have you back on the program again, particularly after you come back. You're going to be in Ghana, leaving next week after next, right? Yeah, leaving on the 24th to January 5th, you know. And then, of course, you got your trip for Senegal and Gambia, April 2nd through the 12th. And then back to Ghana again, May 24th to June 4th. And then Tanzania, November 18th through the 29th of next year. And I will be going on that trip, brother. Believe me, I'm looking forward
to it. And, you know, one thing about me, I got videos up, photos up. That way people don't have to like wonder what they're going to be doing. You see me in the museum, you see us at the culture center, you see us at the school, you see us, you know, out socially, and you see us eating at from the Ethiopian restaurant to the Jamaican restaurant to doing certain things, you know, just trying to show people that, you know, this is what we're doing. And they don't have, because people always want to ask me, what are we going to do in Africa? And I'm like, yo, let me do something better for you. Let me show you what we're eating, what we're doing.
Right.
Let me show you the beach and everything. So that's there. And then also 100% of the documentation as far as the full tour overview, what's included, what's not included, the full day-to-day itinerary, like everything, including dates, times, flight schedule, And so people always wonder, how do you write a schedule a year and then you follow it? I was like, it's based on doing something by nature where you learn it. So one thing I do is I've learned from this, you know, from my background to now, is to create schedules. And then when I create schedules, I create the best schedule. I compare all the schedules you create that I've created, like from the South Africa itinerary to the Tanzania to the Ghana to Senegal and Gambia. I compare it to any other, anything that the white people can put together for their tourism, as far as like England, France, Spain, Germany, and all them other countries, you know, all them countries, you know, because it trips me when I have people that I talk to, and then they're like, yeah, I went to this country, that country, that country. And I'm like, they went everywhere but somewhere black. And I'm like, what is the white people doing for you that people like myself can't do for you?
Right.
I was like, I can put you on a plane. I can put you on whatever equipment you need to get to where you need to. And plus, but when it comes to toe-to-toe itinerary and scheduling, there's no comparison. We're going to get everything that's related to us. There's only one thing that was not black owned that we did outside of the airlines. It was out of the three hotels, we stayed at one hotel in the city, and it was a Marriott brand hotel. And that's because it was logistically a genius layout to get us everywhere we need to get without being caught up in traffic. But outside of that, all black owned operation. Like, we literally find to where you're going to spend your money with your own people, whether they're Tanzanian, whether they, you know, like I mentioned, folks that, you know, had people from Jamaica there, had people from Ethiopia there, and I was trying to find other people so we can kind of just do something diverse and connect us to us. Like, it's, you know, letting people know that, yo, you don't have to do all this stuff for these other people. Let's do this together and make it work.
Right on. Yeah. Right on. Well, my brother, thank you so much once again. Our time is up and I appreciate it. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day and a good weekend. Hope to see you back here on Mondays. Peace, family.
Take care, family.
Hey, all right.